Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
Starting with verse 19, now those were scattered after the persecution arose over Stephen, after Stephen was stoned, and they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged. I mean, you know, we should be encouraged when we hear about people being saved and revival taking place. And I know that's happening in places in our own country today. And we should be excited about that and glad about it. And we find this about Barnabas. And he was glad and he encouraged them with all that with purpose of heart that should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of spirit and of faith. Let me back up there just for a moment. He said it encouraged all them that was with purpose of heart to follow the Lord. How many know there's some that even when they get saved, they don't have the purpose of heart to follow the Lord? And so he encouraged them. The word encouraged means he helped them to grow. He helped them to be pointed in the right direction. He spoke into their lives is what it speaks of with Barnabas as he was speaking to them. And it says in verse 24, he says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. You know, oftentimes we think a great many of people are added to the church, but the fact is it all comes to we are added to the body of Christ, the Lord. And we forget that sometimes. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today we thank you, we praise you. We thank you for your presence here this morning in the midst of the worship service. And we pray today, God, in the breaking of the word, the bread, Lord, this morning. Lord, we're praying, God, that you'll just touch our hearts, open our hearts to what your word says in Jesus' name. Amen. Carl Lundquist, in the book Silent Issues of the Church, writes this. Henry Wingblade used to say that Christian personality is hidden deep inside of us. It is unseen, like the soup carried in a bowl high over a waiter's head. No one knows what's inside unless the waiter is bumped and he trips. That's not a good place to be when that happens. Just so people don't know what's inside of us until we are bumped. But if Christ is living inside of us, he says, what spills out should be the fruits of the Spirit. What spills out should be the fruits of the Spirit. But as well as we all know, if we are honest with ourselves this morning, this may not always be the case. Unfortunately, that is true. But listen, it should be our goal. It should be our goal in life that the fruits of the Spirit come out when things don't quite go right in our life. Or even when things are going good, the fruits of the Spirit should be what we are wanting to flow out of our lives. In our passage today, we find we have a man who is mentioned in verse 22 who was sent to check on the crusade. And I say crusade because they were going out preaching the Word of God and people were being saved. That's a crusade. Revival is when you have someone come into the church and speaks into Christians and stir them up. The Holy Spirit stirs them up to revival. Revive what was once there to back to a roaring flame. That's what revival's about. That's why we have revival speakers to come in. You often say, why the evangelists, why aren't they out winning? They come to bring revival. And so we have this is what's going on. And we find that he was sent, this man was sent to see about the crusade that was happening in Antioch. Antioch, if you ever read down a little further, they're the town where the Christians were first called Christians. That's where they got labeled. We read in Acts chapter 4 that this man's name is really Joseph. But the apostles named him Barnabas, which translates son of encouragement. Barnabas' name actually means son of encouragement. That was the name that the apostles gave him. We find out he was a generous man, for we read in Acts 4 where he actually sold his land and gave all the money to the church. This was Barnabas that did that. And in Acts 9, we find him going to a man that had persecuted the church, that met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus changed that man's life, but was having a hard time fitting in with the group of people, Christians, in Jerusalem. And we find that Barnabas went and introduced Saul, who was not yet named Paul, but made a way for him to be accepted into the church body. I mean, you know, we need people like that. Sometimes God saves some folks that are a little rough, and they need somebody to help them get that entryway into God's people. And sometimes God's people puts up a wall that just won't hardly let somebody in. May we find a lesson from Barnabas today when it comes to Paul, is that he was willing to risk all his relationships with the other to get one man that Jesus saved on the road to Damascus to be accepted by the body of Christ. So we find this about Barnabas in Acts chapter 9. We also find in Acts chapter 13, we find Barnabas and Paul going on a missionary trip, a missions trip. They go together and they go out and they plant churches. They preach the word of God. They see many people saved, give a report to Jerusalem what God is doing with the Gentiles. This man's not a sleeper in the church. He's active in the church. This guy named Barnabas. And in Acts 15, we find them heading out on another trip, another missions trip. But them, as in Paul and Barnabas, but they split ways because they have a disagreement over Barnabas' cousin Mark. I mean, can I just say this? I want to inject this. Very few friendships can handle a disagreement over family. I've learned that in life. That's what you say about someone else's family, because very few friendships can survive. We find here that these two guys, these two missionaries, they split their way. Barnabas takes Mark, Paul gets Silas, and they go two different ways in that. But yet they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here in Acts chapter 11, where we read this morning, we find three things mentioned about this man named Barnabas that actually could help us produce more fruit in our life, that could help us to produce what God wants us to produce and be productive. What are they? We find in verse 24, Barnabas was a good man. And then we find that Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost. And then we find that Barnabas was full of faith. Three things, three graces that were attached to the name of Barnabas that I believe that every Christian needs in our life that can help us to produce like God wants us to produce in our lives. So I want to look at these three things just for a moment this morning, and I want to start with that last one as we get started. There are last two, and I want to put it under here. We all need to be proactive on what we are filling up with. Every one of us in this house this morning, we need to be proactive in what we are filling up with in our life. We don't just need to go through life and take that in and this in and that in. We need to be aware of what we are allowing to come in, to be proactive in it, to take it and actually take for a moment and let how would this help me or how would this hurt me? To be participating in it. Because some people just flow through life and say, whatever will be, will be. Without understanding what some things may do. The word full in this passage of Scripture means to be completely occupied. When we read it says full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, it actually means to be completely occupied with these things. Can I tell you this morning, it's easy to become full of things that leave little room for God. It's easy to become full of things that leave little room for God. Now, things of this world. Oh, we're living in a time that we can get full of a lot of things. Because there's so many things out there to offer. So many things out there in this smorgasbord of what we call the world and the things that the world offers. Everything's, even things that are not sinful. Did you know there's some things in our life that are not sinful, but we find out in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, I believe it is, we're told to lay aside that weight. That weight is not a sinful thing. It's something that is weighing us down from running the race of Christ that we should be running in our life. We're told to lay aside that. What is that? That means that I've got things in my life that are hindering my walk with God, hindering my run with God, even though it may not be sinful. And this is what we find that we can be full of in life. Can I say this morning, is when our lives are full of the things of this world, we seem to lose our perspective of God. But when we are full of the things of God, the things of this world are put into the right perspective. Now let me say that again. I believe I got it for the screen back there. It says, when our lives are full of the things of this world, we seem to lose our perspective of God. But when we are full of the things of God, the things of the world are put into the right perspective. Remember, the word means completely. It means talking about filling up, what we're filling up with. Did Barnabas enjoy life? Yeah, I guarantee he had fun. I never knew Barnabas. I'm not that old. But I believe Barnabas, I've enjoyed when I do watch The Chosen to really look and see the disciples as real people. Cutting up, having a joke every now and then. And even the Lord, you know, he would have fun also. I enjoy that. I think sometimes we see these people in the Bible and we think, well, they're just so holy. But the fact is they had lives that they lived also. The only thing about Barnabas, he decided to fill his life. God doesn't, he doesn't mind us having a good life and to enjoy life. It doesn't mean we have to just be so all about God all the time that we don't enjoy our family. I'm going to tell you, God, He intends us for us to enjoy family. Even some sports, gentlemen, you can enjoy sports and you can enjoy hobbies in life and vacations, downtime, and many other things are okay. It's all right. Psalms 37:4 says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life. What is that? Salvation. And that you may have life, what? Abundantly. That says, hey, God doesn't mind us enjoying the life that we're living. This little short vapor, it's all right to enjoy life. Matthew 6:33, he says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God doesn't matter, or doesn't mind us enjoying life. The key is not to be to fill our lives with these things and put Christ on the shelf. Or, for instance, everybody's seen the little Jesus witness until I think they're great. But let me tell you something. We need more than a little Jesus in our life. We need more than a little Jesus, and that's what's happening many times in the church today, is that we're so occupied, we're so filled up with everything else, we have room for a little Jesus. When Jesus says, be full of me, and other things I'll allow to come in. And it speaks of what we are. So we should be proactive on the things that we allow to come in. The key is Jesus first and everything else second. Everything. Even in your marriages, even in your family, even in your business, everything else is second or third or fourth, however you want to put it. Another thing is Barnabas was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. He was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. This was not by accident, but was intentional. He was intentional on what he was filling his life with. Come on, has anybody ever just accused you, oh, that just happened accidentally, but yet you were intentional for it to happen like it did? I'm going to tell you, sometimes people don't realize that some people are a little more intentional than you think in what they do and how they do it. Barnabas was intentional for him to have these words described to him or ascribed to him that he was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. That didn't just happen. He was doing things in his life to be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't accidental. It was something that took place. I remember way back a long time ago when I was teaching the adult class in Spearman, Texas. And the adult class was in the sanctuary. I wanted to move it. I asked Pastor if I could move it into the fellowship hall. And I wanted to serve some donuts because donut and Sunday school really goes together good. And my class increased. Of course it did. And have some coffee too. And Brother Ray came up, well, you kind of stumbled onto that. No, I'm thinking, I planned it that way. And sometimes we don't realize that. And we are intentional, and Barnabas was intentional. If we're going to be full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, we must be intentional in our lives. It's not just going to happen. It's not like God is just going to keep pouring it down on you. We've got to get after it. The church needs the power of the Holy Ghost again. How many would agree with me once again that we need a moving of the Holy Ghost in the church? And we're all just expecting sometimes for God just to open up the floodgates of heaven. No, we must be intentional in asking God to open up. It must be something that we want in our life, something that we are going to maintain. What does it mean to be full of faith? This is what it says about Barnabas. Very simple, he heard the word of God and believed it. Not part of it, all of it. So much so, his life's actions reflected his faith in the word of God. He wasn't just hearing, but he was doing. He didn't cherry pick scripture or twist scripture around, but heard and lived by it. It moved him into action. He heard in the word that those that do not have Jesus Christ will not go to heaven. It moved him by the word to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more than just that salvation faith. It's a faith that goes past that salvation faith. It's where I start to live, that I start to believe the word of God. That why wake up in the morning and think, my word is the day that the rapture might take place. It's when I start to live by, breathe by, understand the word of God, that I am focused by the word of God. I want to live the word of God. It's by that I become full of faith. What in? When what God says. Barnabas was the type of guy that would look at you, if God said it, so be it. He was full of faith, and it's talking about growing and believing the word of God more and more and more every day. When we start to believe God's word more and more, I mean, you know, some people pick and choose what they want to believe in the word of God. Amen? That Barnabas wouldn't do that. He said, if God said it, it's got to be in my life. If God said it, I'm going to believe it to be so. Talk about being full of faith. Because the word of God is in his life. It's more than what he got saved. And often, I get it. It takes faith to get saved. But we are to grow in faith. We are to become full of faith in what God's word says. We're to be that type of person. We're having a conversation. I think Barnabas would be this way. Well, let me tell you what God's word says about that. We can believe for a miracle. We believe God to heal you. I remember a long time ago, a man that was wayward from Christ. Matter of fact, he didn't really want anything to do with God. There was a Christian salesman came into his shop, and this guy had been suffering with some kind of skin disease on his hand, couldn't get it healed. The guy I'm talking about, the body shop guy, he couldn't get his hand healed, and he didn't really want much to do with God. But this salesman came in that was full of faith, and he looked at his hand. He says, "I know a God that can heal you." Now, that's awkward when you're trying to sell parts to a man. And he says, "Oh, you do?" And he says, "Yes, put your hand out here." And that salesman prayed for his hand, and it was healed right in front of his eyes. Now, I'm telling you, that's full of faith to believe such a way. This is what Barnabas, when he said he was full of faith, he says, "I believe God said it, so be it." If church, we need to get full of faith again in our lives. We need to believe God can do anything. God can work miracles. God can, He can save the rottenest, the worst person in this community. God can take that drug-addicted person and make them into a new person. We need to speak faith. We need to live faith. We need to understand God's word is so be it. This is what was meant by Barnabas being full of faith. Full of faith. We've all seen people like that. It's one of the things I admire about Doyle Jones, Dr. Doyle Jones, Reverend Doyle Jones. I said, "What do you want me to call you?" He said, "I'll just call me Brother Jones." I said, "Okay." But when he calls somebody down to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he says, "Come down and get full." What is that? That is faith that they're going to be saved, or saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm saying this is what it speaks of. We need to have more of the faith in our lives. Amen? I need more of that type of faith in my life. We need to be full of faith that we believe God can do anything. We need to look at that mountain and say, "My God can move it." Amen? Amen? How many know God can do amazing things? I remember one time I pulled up to a driveway. We had this cotton tree, and it was putting off junk all the time. It was my neighbor's tree. And I said, "Well, I'm going to speak to that tree and let it be gone." Sure enough, he started cutting it down a few weeks later, and I'm going, "Whoo!" I don't know if it had anything to do with me or not. He probably got tired of all that cotton seed that's putting off. But anyhow, I'm just saying today that we need to get back to speaking faith. I can tell you stories. Jesse Francis told me one time, he's an old friend, he went on to be with the Lord. He said his grandmother, there was some rattlesnakes down in the cellar. They need to go down there because a storm was coming. And she said, "Every one of you snakes die." Guess what they got down there? They were all dead. I'm saying we hear stories like that. We think, "Oh, I don't know about that." But maybe those people were full of faith. Maybe they were full of faith and they believed that God's word meant what he said. And this is what it's talking about Barnabas, is that he was full of faith in God. And it made a huge difference in his life and other people's lives. Full of faith. It would be maybe Romans 1:17, "For in this the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. And we are to be full of faith. If God said it, so be it. Listen, to be full of faith, we must be intentional in hearing, believing His word, and living accordingly. It would surprise you how many people that call themselves Christians do not read the word, do not come to church, do not sit in services, and they wonder why faith is not growing. I'm saying today, Sunday school grows faith, preaching grows faith, reading the Word of God grows faith. How can you say that, Pastor? It's because the Word of God, when we hear it, we have the opportunity to believe it. And if I'm hearing it, I can say, "The Lord, hallelujah, said it." And I believe it to happen. I believe it to be able to take place in my life. We can't have faith if we don't hear it, read it, learn it, and understand it. It's no wonder the church is so weak in America today, because the church and Christ has been put in second place. We need more of that. Well, what does it mean to be full of the Holy Ghost? He was full of faith, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. This literally is talking about an Acts 2, Acts 10, in Acts 19 experience, and if you want to get right down to it, even in the Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, where Philip went to the Samaritans and they got saved, and I believe they got filled with the Holy Spirit. They were talking in tongues because Simon wanted what they were doing. This is literally talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of talking in tongues. Being full of the Spirit. All these places that I spoke is where the Holy Ghost fell on them and they spoke in tongues. Now listen, we don't know all the history of Barnabas. Have you figured out, we got all eternity when we get to heaven, we got a lot of questions. Because we don't get the full life story on some of these guys that are in the Bible. We don't get the full life story about different things, but we're going to have them. But I suspect he was part of that 120 that was in the upper room. I mean, you know, there was more than just the 12 disciples that were there. That there was 120 followers of Christ in that upper room. And I believe Barnabas was one of those that had that initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit to where he received the Holy Spirit, the baptism, and talked in tongues. Now, if he wasn't there, he had that experience somewhere, because it talks about being full of the Holy Ghost. And that's being filled up. What is that? That's the second experience that you can have after you've been saved. First requirement is to be saved with Jesus, have that blood, and you have the Spirit in part come in. But this baptism of the Holy Spirit is to run over, and you have a heavenly language given to you. This is what it's speaking of, being full of the Holy Spirit. All of those places in the three witnesses in the Bible. That was six. Three witnesses in the Bible. They all, for sure, witnesses, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they talked in tongues. And they were filled. I watched a testimony the other day of a Southern Baptist preacher. His testimony was this. He says, I was pastoring a church. We were growing fast. God was doing amazing things. And he said, I just got hungry for God more and more. And he said, I had spoke against, listen to this. He was on dangerous grounds. He spoke against, or speaking against the gift of the Spirit, of the tongues that came with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He'd even told his church that that was from the devil. Let me tell you, God forgives ignorance. Amen. God forgives ignorance. And he says, I had been taught that. I had a biased teaching. And my friend, if you haven't noticed, as Pentecostal people, there's a lot of people out there that have been taught biased opinions about speaking in tongues. You want to know where it comes from? It comes from their denominations, and that's what they taught as they were growing up. Biased opinions that talking in tongues wasn't from the Holy Spirit. But he said, I got hungry. I got hungry for more of God. He says, in my prayer room, all of a sudden, oh, I felt the power of God come down upon me. And guess what happened to that Baptist preacher? He started speaking in tongues. And our definition as Assembly of God people, if we call that being filled in the Spirit. Being full of the Holy Ghost. When they said Barnabas was full of the Spirit, they were talking. He had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues, and he was remaining filled with the Holy Ghost, is what it speaks of. I'm going to tell you, I don't say this in a bad way, but it's time that the Assembly of God churches get filled with the Holy Ghost again, to get filled back up to the rim. Oh, I'm telling you, why do we say we got the power and our seats are empty? It's time that we get filled once again with the Spirit. Because that's what the difference is. See, baptism is for power. Jesus himself said, you will receive power in Acts chapter 1:8. It's not for us to have membership. It's not for me to be qualified as a pastor. It's for power to witness about Jesus Christ. That's what the baptism of the Spirit is for. It's not for me to sit here and speak in tongues when we've got tons of people that have no idea what I'm doing. It's about power to witness. I know I probably just got in trouble for that statement. It's power to witness. Power to share Jesus. Power to actually pray for the blind, pray for the deaf. Power for the witness of God. This is what they're talking about with Barnabas. It's dunamis power. Is when you look it up in the scripture, it's dunamis power, and that whole term is a potential of power that can be used to perform action. Oh, did you get that? Potential of power to perform action. It's not for me to just sit around, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. The power is to perform action. Well, that's what Jesus, I'm going to give you power to witness and to teach in all the areas of the world. That's action. Power to do something. Power to go. You know, here's my deal today. A lot of churches today thinks, I'm Pentecostal because I raise my hands. Or I pray, I'm Pentecostal because I dance a little bit. Or you know what you call that? It's more charismatic. I'm Pentecostal because I got my tambourine out and I can't even keep a beat. I've been watching some reels that are just really interesting about what we call Pentecostal. I'm thinking, if my church ever acted like some of these churches, I would have to leave. I can see why we got a bad reputation. Pentecost is about winning people to Jesus. Amen. It's about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about those signs and wonders that we spoke of in Mark chapter 16, I believe it is. These signs shall follow them that believe. My friend, we need them today in America. We need the church to be full of the Spirit again because we need a witness that's more than some praise band. We need a witness that's going to bring people to the true Jesus Christ. We need that witness again in the church. He was full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit. Did you know, if you look at the timelines from Acts 2 to Acts 11, it's approximately 11 years from when he was in the upper room until when he went to Antioch. 11 years of history. How many know history goes by so fast in church you don't realize how fast it goes? Some people will come up to me and say, well, you remember when I went? I go, I don't even remember you. I don't know if that's because I'm getting older. Or we just have so much stuff that has went under the bridge. So much water. 11 years. 11 years of being filled with the Holy Ghost, Johnny. 11 years of having the initial outpouring, and the man is still being called and described to about being full of the Holy Ghost. Now let that sink in just for a moment. I'm going to let it sink in. Just as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, I've seen many people come down, get filled with the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues, and that was the last time. Or get filled with the Holy Spirit, and then just kind of dry out. Have you figured out, especially in the panhandle of Texas, fill a glass up with water and go look at it a week later? You're going to see, because we won't have rain in between that week, and it's going to be dry. I'm just saying today, there's a compliment here about Barnabas. 11 years, and they're still saying the man's full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that was something credited to all the apostles. Peter was still full of the Holy Ghost. Paul was still full of the Holy Ghost. All of them were still full of the Holy Ghost, so much so that they couldn't help but speak about Jesus and get in trouble. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Staying full of the Holy Ghost. We've all had those times in our life that we have allowed our relationship to grow and to go down a little bit, and we don't go after God as we should, But my friend, today, I'm saying today, we need to go after God again. Amen? We need to go after God again. We need that dunamis power. We need a fresh outpouring in San Jacinto. And we need a fresh outpouring in the Assembly of God movement that we have today. Listen, being full of the Holy Spirit and faith will help us in this next thing that has been accredited to Barnabas. And that was that he was a good man. Listen, all of us this morning, we all need goodness to be associated with our name. Amen. Don't shout me down. I said, we all need goodness to be associated with our name. It should be part of our Christian lives. And we all need that. The word goodness in Galatians chapter 5:22 as the fruit of the Spirit is actually derived from the word good that is used in verse 24 here. The very word that they're using for Barnabas as a good man, it also is speaking of the same thing as the fruit of the Spirit. Barnabas was called a good man. Dean Church said this about Barnabas. He said it was an earthly reflection of the Paraclete, which is another word for the Holy Spirit. Think about a compliment that this man is giving Barnabas. He's an earthly reflection of the Paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, if I was to ask you this morning to describe your favorite fruit, you would probably tell me the color, maybe the shape, the texture of it, the size, and so on, and give me the name of it. But how about this fruit we call goodness? This fruit that was described or ascribed to Barnabas this morning, a good man. How about this fruit that is from the Spirit of God? How do we describe that? Donald G. in his book, The Fruits of the Spirit, breaks down the fruit of this fruit of goodness in this way. Three ways, shortly, or very short this morning, I want to give to you about what we call goodness or what he calls goodness. The first thing is passive goodness. He calls it a passive goodness. And this is part of that fruit. It's not difficult to see that this fruit is powerful. And a passive goodness is just that you're a good person. That when you come into a room, people just sense the goodness that's in your life. Have you ever watched somebody come into a workplace, or maybe they get there and eventually everybody starts to realize the goodness that's in their life? You know, you can walk into a room and change the environment. If you come in bitterness and that, you change the environment. But if you come in love, you change the environment. You're all going to go to family places. And you'll know the environment changes when certain people walk in. Why can't we get an understanding that part of this of goodness, this fruit of the Spirit, is a passive thing in our life that's part of us? That when people see you, oh, I just love them. They're just such a good person. It affects the room and the people that you're around. Today, we need this goodness in the church today. We need it in the workplace. We need it in the home place. We need to have this goodness that's going to change the atmosphere and the environment that we're in. This goodness, and understand what God wants us to have. Can I tell you, you can be put among, look at Daniel. He had goodness in his life. And he had a king fasting all night that he wouldn't be ate by the tigers or the lions. Goodness affects people's lives. We need a world of more goodness, agree? And this is part of that fruit in our... It's one of those, I don't have to say it, they just sense that in my life that I'm a good person. That passive goodness changes the environment that we live in. There's another part of this goodness that he describes as active goodness. Active goodness. Not just keeping it all in, but this is talking about doing some good. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. Matthew chapter 12, 35. Jesus made that statement. This goodness that in Barnabas was more than just passive. It was passive, but it was also active in his life. A goodness. He looked for opportunity to do good. I preached last week to having that acts of kindness. These things run parallel together. And to have that goodness in our life, just to be a good person, and also to have actions in our life that are good. You know, in Matthew 5:16, it says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds." Good deeds. To do good deeds in our life. That we look for opportunity to do good deeds. One of the great heartbreaks of the 1988 Winter Olympics was the story of a speed skater named Dan Jansen. Just hours before his race, he received the news that his sister, who had been fighting leukemia for more than a year, had just died. Bearing the weight of his sorrow, Dan laced on his skates to race for his sister. When the gun sounded, he sprinted from the starting line only to slip and fall in the first turn. 4 days later, in the 1,000-meter race, he fell again. The whole country mourned with him over his sister. Many Americans sent David letters of consolation, according to Sports Illustrated. Not long after returning home, Jansen received a letter from Mark Arrowwood, a disabled 30-year-old from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Mark wrote, "Dear Dan, I watched you on TV. I'm sorry that you fell 2 times. I am in Special Olympics. I won a gold medal at Pennsylvania State Summer Olympics right after my dad died 7 years ago. Before we start the game, we have a saying that goes like this: let me win, but if I can't win, let me be brave in the attempt. I want to share one of my gold medals with you because I don't like to see you not get one. Try again in 4 more years." And inside the envelope was Dan Jansen found a gold medal that Mark Arrowwood sent him and had won at a track and field. How many know this speaks of a good thing? Goodness in a person's life. And we need to look for those opportunities. This gift of the Spirit is not all wrapped up about us, but it's us being good to other folks. What can I do to make their life better? What can I do? Oh, to speak into whatever they're going through. What can I do? Oh, what can I do to have goodness flowing out of me towards somebody else? This is that thing that they spoke of Barnabas. They didn't, it's not like that person that does an awful thing next door and everybody on TV goes, "Well, he was such a good person." Y'all all hear that, right? This was evident in Barnabas' life. They called him a good man. This is what that fruit. Not only that, Don G breaks it up into one more thing and he calls it morally good. A deeper meaning aside to goodness than anything we have mentioned thus far. Absolutely goodness, nothing more, nothing less than moral perfection. Now when we say absolute goodness, we know there isn't but one, and that's God. And we can only accredit that to Him. But I like it where it says practicing or achieving moral perfection. But can I tell you this morning that through the Spirit we can produce goodness in our life? We can change who we are. I've seen it over and over again when someone gets saved in a community that perhaps that person was a little ornery. They say, "I can't believe it's you. What God has done in your life." We can do and have goodness in our life by practicing what is right and honest. In our family, in our church, in our businesses, and our business deals, when we are renters, we can do what we have agreed to do. I mean, that's goodness. I had a lady one time that we were trying to help out a little bit. She said, "Well, I'm not going to be able to pay you and all that. Just now, put a deal on the door and I'll get the money. Act like you're going to convict me." I said, "We're not going to do that. I think you missed the point of this thing. We have every day in our lives, listen, when we're talking about the morally good, opportunities to do what is right and what is good. Proverbs says, when you make a deal, even to your own hurt, keep it. Ken Hess and I, we drove all the way to Canyon because I made a deal with somebody, I can't remember if it was Facebook or Craigslist, over a generator, I believe it was. Get there, pull up in the driveway, oh, it's gone. And I thought, well, he said, I had someone else offer me more money. And I go, Jesus, Jesus. You know how you get to thinking? You know, I'm thinking, did we not make a deal? But yet, he sold it to someone that brought more money. Can I tell you, this is what we're talking about, goodness. It says, when you make a deal, do it. Even if it's to your own hurt. I've been in those situations. I shook hands with somebody, then someone else offered me more money. And I'm thinking, no, I've already sold it to this man. But hey, I'm offering you, I've already sold it to this guy. You know, we talk about goodness. We have an opportunity as Christians to practice goodness, morality in our lives every day. Have virtue. We are told to add virtue into our life. And that is to be the best renters, be the best bosses, to be the best people that we can to our neighbors. Oh, you don't know my neighbor. God does. We should still be responding in the right way. I've heard about your neighbors. No, just kidding. We need to be the best neighbors around. I'm saying, you know, if we sign a lease and it says don't do this and that, we don't need to do this and that. Why? Because that person may actually show up in church. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. And Barnabas, it was labeled to him as a good man. If Barnabas shook your hand and said, we're going to do this, Barnabas did it to the best of ability. That's that fruit of the Spirit. It's passive, it's active, and it's morally right to do what's right. All labeled into goodness in our lives. We should do the right thing. Paul in Philippians says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Tells us to pattern our lives after those that walk right. Pattern our lives. He says, brethren, join and follow in my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Can I tell you, we can take Barnabas as an example this morning through these three graces that were working in his life, that of being a good man, that of being full of the Spirit, and that of being full of the faith. And I'll guarantee you, we can't go wrong when we have these things working in our life. Let those things produce. And we have those producing. When we are full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, it's easy and flows better to be the good person that God wants us to be. Amen. Stand with me this morning. All this takes, if we go all the way back to the first of my sermon, is that we need to be proactive in what we have coming in our life. Amen? We need to be proactive in what we're letting to come into our life. What are we filling up on? And again, may I say, God does not, He's not against your football. He's not, you know, family and all that stuff's part of life. It's just where we put the perspective. Because then, if we got God in the right perspective, everything else will be where it needs to be in our life. Amen? Lord, today we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the example of Barnabas this morning. And Lord, I just pray in each one of our lives today, God. Lord, as we are proactive, God, in watching what we're filling up on in this world that we're living in. And Lord, may it all go come to second place and to you, Lord, that you would be the number one thing in our life, God, that we go after. And Lord, that we would be people of full of faith, people full of the Spirit, and Lord, that we would be accredited to be a good person, Lord, in our lives. Now, Father, I pray today that you'll bless each one here. Pour your Spirit out upon them through the day, God, and through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.